This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozelle for Sunday, February 14th, 2016. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio. It's cold outside, my friends. Unbelievably cold. So guess what? Stay inside. Listen to the program. We've got a lot to teach you. I'm finally back. I know I've been gallivanting around the countryside for a while teaching, and actually took a couple days and shut down and went to one of the most amazing places that I'd never seen. The Grand Canyon in at the southern rim in Arizona. It was phenomenal. It was mind-boggling. You know, it's one of those things that you take a look at and you wonder if it's going to be what you've seen in magazines and movies and so forth. Well, it's more than that. It's like incredible. You want to feel insignificant? Take the trip. It's like, wow. Give me a call, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you on any subject that you have in mind. And, you know, it's Valentine's Day, right? And it's about the heart, and it's about love, and it's about all those things, about your presence here in the world. It's about the interactions and associations that you have with people. You know, happy Valentine's Day. And, you know, from the time that you were a child in grade school, you wrote those cards, you give it to your best girl, you give it to your best guy, and, you know, you blushed, and now you give it to your best older girl and your best older guy. And, you know, that's the way it is. So we're going to talk about the heart in many different ways, but who better to talk about the heart than the woman that's put up with me for way, way too many years, probably, and you probably needs the, you know, the award of the valor of whatever. Hi, Sue.
Hi.
Sue's our nutritionist in the office, as many of you know. And we're going to talk about heart and heart function and cardiovascular disease and all those things that will allow you to stay present and to continue giving your heart for many, many years to come.
That's right.
That's right. So we're going to talk about it. But before we get going, I'm going to mention it throughout the program. Rozelle Center for Healing does a very special event on an ongoing basis, meaning annually. And this one is very special. It's called Have a Heart Week. And Dr. Pina was talking to you a little bit about it last week when she was sitting in for me. But Have a Heart campaign that we have in our office is very straight up. You know, if you've ever thought about getting a consultation and a full examination for acupuncture, for chiropractic care, and having yourself evaluated from a multidisciplinary approach, you know, from the neurology platform, from the biochemical platform, from the emotional stress patterns, and how it's affecting you and your state of your health. If you're suffering from, you know, headaches and back pain, and I don't feel good, and even cardiac arrhythmias and so forth, you want to know what can be done from a natural platform. Here's an opportunity. It's like inexpensive, but we're asking you for an exchange. Have a Heart Week is about this. You pick up the phone, you call the Rozelle Center for Healing at 703-698-7117, 703-698-7117, and you tell the staff member that answers the phone that you want to register for a no-cost consultation examination for whatever problem that you happen to have with one of the doctors, one of the associates at the Rozelle Center for Healing. And to be evaluated, it's their exchange. What's the exchange? Well, here's the deal. They want a $50 donation, not to the Rozelle Center for Healing, but to Food for Others. Food for Others. Food for Others is a foundation in Fairfax County that provides food to the homeless and the indigent in the area. They have a huge task. And what we're doing is we try to help them help others, and we're asking you to exchange with us. So you have a choice. You can do one of two things. You can either bring in a bag of groceries worth $50 and they'll exchange that consultation examination at no other cost to you and no other obligation, by the way. It gives you two appointments, one for the full examination consultation, come back, and the doctor will go over everything with you and make recommendations, which is up to you. And then the second or the other piece is that you can bring in $50 check. And either way, guess what's going to happen? The Rozelle Center for Healing will match that donation. So if you bring in a $50 check, we're going to match it by adding $50 to it. If you bring in a $50 bag of groceries, we're going to match that by adding $50 for it. And all of that will go to food for others. So here's an opportunity for you, not only to help yourself, but to help tons of people. And it's cold outside. These people need your help. So pick up the phone right now. Call 703-698-7117 and tell them that you'd like to participate. You'd like to come in. You'd like to get an exam. You got some really great, terrific people there that can really help you out. Our number here is 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Sue, let's talk about this craziness. We're going to talk about it from, obviously, from your platform, from a nutritional platform, functional medicine platform, and we're going to talk about it from a neurological point of view. But, you know, it's this interesting muscle that's in the middle of the chest, mm-hmm. and it pumps and it pushes and, you know, all this blood that circulates through the system. And if that thing fails, it's goodnight, Irene. We're done, right?
That's right.
And some people are more predisposed to situations than others, but it has neurological input. It has emotional input. It has chemical input.
Oh, yeah.
So let's kind of take it in that direction. Let's talk about that heart relative to what happens from your platform lifestyle over a period of time leading to this, oh my God, I just had a heart attack type of thing.
Well, start with the emotional, okay? I think that's particularly appropriate given today's Valentine's Day. There's a reason love comes from the heart. as not just because it's a good Hallmark tone. Emotions have a significant impact on the heart health. If you are relaxed, if you find joy in your life, if you find peace, you thoroughly enjoy your family, you've got close relationships with friends and coworkers, you love the work that you do, chances are, in spite of everything, you're going to have a pretty healthy heart. But unfortunately, the reverse is true in this area. When you are worrying, especially worrying about things you have no control over, okay, politics, economy, the world situation, the wars, and all of that, that kind of stress is terribly, terribly difficult on the heart. It puts a great burden on the heart. If you have a lot of personal stress in your life, disconnect with family or friends, don't like the work you do, or struggle with the people that you have to work with. You have a non-appreciative supervisor or boss or whatever. Those kinds of stresses really affect our heart. It's got nothing to do with physiology. It's completely emotional. So one of the most important things to do, no matter what your age is, no matter what your health status is begin to get a handle on the emotional part of your life. That's the one side of the triangle. And it's an incredibly important part for heart health.
And we're not, you know, we're really never taught about that. I mean, growing up, you know, I grew up in a little Sicilian community in Western New York State. And, you know, you push, you have grandma screaming, you have all the kids running around, you have your mother in your face, and all these things take place on a day-to-day basis. And the stress, and you learn to put stuff in the back pocket, particularly guys, you know, you don't show emotion. And we internalize emotional stress mm-hmm. to the point where you feel that chest pain.
Yeah.
You feel the muscles tightening, you feel the radiation, you feel, you know, you feel that fatigue pattern that comes from it.
And I suspect that anybody listening has had one event in their lives of such enormous emotional trauma, loss of a parent, loss of a spouse, loss of a child, some horrific scenario where they truly felt like they were having a heart attack. because the pain in their chest was so intense, and they would have all of the symptoms of a heart attack, and they would go to the hospital or the emergency room, and they were told their heart was fine.
You know, the interesting thing, Sue, is that, as you know, particularly from Eastern medicine, every organ in the body has an emotion that's associated with it. And we're talking about the heart, and each organ has a pair. It, you know, that it works with. It's the yin and the yang, the positive, the negative.
Right.
Well, the heart paired system is with the lung.
Yeah.
And the lung has to do with grief.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have these things that happen to the heart, and we never fully express them or get rid of them. They lock in actually to the genetic map. They can change that. That's the area of epigenetics that we've talked about extensively. And that lung pattern now actually perpetuates it. So you go back and forth with heart and lung, lung and heart, and then the tougher of the people begin to hang in there for a period of time. Then all of a sudden, the whole house of cards collapses.
Sure.
And then you end up with all these things called, you know, myocardial infarct. You know, it's a heart attack.
It manifests,
right,
into a physiology.
That's right.
But it started out as an emotional situation. And think about it. Anytime you've been very, very anxious or having a severe traumatic event, not only do you get pain in your chest in the heart area where you think you're having a heart attack, you can't breathe. you can't take a deep breath. And so, again, it's the connection there between the heart and the lung working together, and they are both significantly affected by emotions.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I tell our patients is that the body doesn't know the difference between an actual experience and one that you think about, emotionalize, internalize. And the heart is a primary example of that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, everything goes inside. Everything begins to, you know, you hear people say, stop that, you can give me a heart attack.
Right.
And guess what happens? You know, there's a woman by the name of Louise Hay that, and, you know, spinoff from with Hay House Publishing and so forth, that wrote about that mind-body connection and how the emotional system is portrayed and how the physiology is also portrayed in the emotions.
Absolutely.
It's an intertwining situation.
And unfortunately, it's an area that it requires a tremendous amount of effort and work that is not being dedicated in that area. When you go for rehabilitation after a heart attack or a stroke, do they ever talk about relaxation? Do they ever talk about how to learn to control your emotional reactions to the world and the stress? We can't live in a stress-free environment. That's impossible.
No, matter of fact, if you were totally stress-free, you would probably
You'd
die.
Probably die.
Two
yeah.
minutes.
You'd be like a worm.
Yeah, no, physiologically, it's true. If you had no stress in your body, stress is protective.
Yeah.
And if you avoided stress completely and had no stress and just, you know, could kind of, you know, wander down the pathway, literally 2 minutes, you're dead.
Right. Well, and stress can be like fire. Campfires are great. Fire in your fireplace is great. A forest fire is a real problem. And so, again, it's the degree of stress. But no one is taught how to manage their stress. No one is taught relaxation techniques. They're not taught how to deal with things they cannot control. And that's the biggest stress-provoking problem, is people getting upset and worried about situations where they're totally out of control for doing anything about it. It's a total frustration, and it's just devastating to our psyches, but also physiologically to our heart.
You know, there's so many people that take really good care of themselves, and they try to exercise, they eat actually fairly well, and they seem to have control of their life, but at the end of the day, they end up with all these cardiovascular problems of atherosclerotic plaquing, they end up with small infarcts, they end up with the loss of cardiac function, congestive heart failure.
Sure.
You know, all of these things that seem to plague our society today at large, and a lot of it, such a huge piece, has to do with what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
You know, and the depletion of the nutrients, the minerals that go along with it. You know, we're coming up to a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the things like heart disease relative to plaquing, relative to loss of nutritional components and so forth, and what you can do about it. In the meantime, don't go away. We're going to be back with a very interesting program that has a lot to do with, you know, have a heart and happy Valentine's Day. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live in studio in this very frigid, cold Washington day. I come back. It was nice in Arizona. I should have stayed there. You know, it was getting warmer into the 70s and going up from there. So, and I had to come back to this. You know, I grew up in Jamestown, New York, as the bird flies about 65 miles south of Buffalo, New York. And, you know, Christmas Eve many moons ago, it started snowing about 8 o'clock in the morning, dumped somewhere in the neighborhood about 38 inches in one day. And I said, I'm done. I'm out of here. It's one thing growing up, and it's another thing having to work in it. But I don't think I went far enough south. But last night I looked on the news, too. They were like minus 8 or 9 degrees.
And 3 feet of snow.
That's right. My guest in studio is Sue Rozelle, and we're talking about cardiovascular problems. Though I want to remind you that Rozelle Center is celebrating Have a Heart Week. And what that means is that you can come in for a complete examination consultation with a follow-up visit to discuss your findings for nothing. For nothing. It's our gift to you. But we do want an exchange. And what that exchange simply is this, is that we want you to either write a check for $50 made out to Food for Others, or you bring in a grocery bag full of non-perishable goods for $50. And we will not only give those to an organization called Food for Others, but we'll match the donation. So if you bring in a check for $50, we're going to add $50 to it. If you bring in groceries, we're going to add $50 to that. And it's going to go to Food for Others. But you got to do it now. 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. This is the only week that we do that. It is Valentine's Week. That's why we call it Have a Heart Week. And we want you to participate. We need your help. These people need your help. Think about the cold that's out there. And if you're putting off getting any kind of care for yourself, you want to find out what's going on from a non-surgical, non-drug standpoint, point of view, see if there's anything that can be done. This is an opportunity. Get it done. Do it now. 703-698-7117. And how you reach us here on the show today is 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Sue, let's talk about this thing called the heart. We got about 4 minutes before we go to the bottom and the hour. And, you know, let's take it another step.
Okay.
Where do you want to go with it?
Well, we talked about the emotional side. You got to laugh. Nothing works better to reduce stress than laugh. So find some things that are funny in your life and develop that laugh muscle.
All you have to do is live with me.
Okay, there goes my stress. But the point is, you cannot be stressed and laugh simultaneously, and it's one of the best medicines. They've even documented it scientifically that it has a positive benefit. Prayer, meditation, deep breathing, relaxation, any of those things all go to at least diminishing the stress to a point where it's no longer going to kill you. Exercise is the other side of that coin. It's impossible to say high stress unless you're overtraining when you exercise. It burns off the stress hormones, plain and simple. That's why exercise makes us feel so good.
But you have exercise that's over the top.
Well, yeah.
And that's not what we're talking
about.
We're not training here for the Olympiad.
Or, you know, marathons or triathlons. Those are fine. And if you're a super in shape person, those are probably not over stressful. But we're talking about just everyday activities, getting off of our bottoms, going the stairs, walking more. You know, this little Fitbit thing is the greatest thing in the world because people are motivated when they put that on. Oh dear, I've only walked 8,500 steps. I got to go for another half mile.
You know, I laughed last night. We were with our family last night, and our son, was sitting there. He's got a Fitbit on, right? And he was saying, he admitted that as long as he's got the Fitbit on, he'll walk the stairs up to his office in his office building. If he doesn't have the Fitbit on, he thinks twice.
Absolutely, because then he doesn't make his goal. So, I mean, anything it takes to get you up and moving.
Electronic accountability.
You know, even if you can't walk, if you are, you've got bad knees, bad hips, bad ankles, there are all kinds of exercise you can do sitting down. But the thing that's important about it is when you exercise, you reduce the stress hormones, which are negative effects on everything in your body. But you also create a type of hormone in the vessels themselves, which allow the vessels, the arteries of your body, to relax. Now we're talking reducing blood pressure. And all you did was a little exercise.
So instead of vasospasm, you got vasorelaxation.
Exactly. And that little hormone stays around in the vasculature for about 30 to 45 minutes, even an hour after exercise. So even after you stop the activity, you're still getting benefit. This is also why people feel better after they've exercised.
Here's a little clue about exercise and too much exercise. And I mean, we could spend the whole day on exercise. I'd love to have our daughter in here who's an exercise trainer and physiologist. But here's the deal. If you exercise and, you know, you have 15, 20 minutes, a half hour, 45 minutes, and you're exercising. At the end of the exercise, if you feel great and your energy's good and you feel like you're alive and on fire, exercise was the right amount and not too much. If you feel afterwards like you need a nap to recover from your exercise, it was over the top and it was way too much.
Too much.
And you got to back down.
But you also want to still feel good 2 hours after the exercise.
That's be true too, yeah. If you crash later on, if you want to go to sleep, not okay.
Right.
That's way too much. We're coming up to a break. We have a whole lot more on the heart, and we're going to give you some nutrient benefits and some neurological relationships. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio. Even though that it's cold, we're here. Even if there's snow, we're here. I think I sound like a postman. You know, rain, snow, sleet, whatever. Anyway.
Quit.
888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you on any subject that you have in mind. We're talking about the heart and all that beautiful outside extraneous things that happen and beat it up. But we started with your mind, and we're going to talk about other things. But, you know, from plaquing, there's a reason. Some people plaque, some people don't. And we're going to set aside the predispositions, if you will, the genetic predispositions of, well, my grandfather, my father, and so forth. Everybody had heart disease, and that may be true. One thing that I want to leave you with is the idea, the thought that 80% of all predisposed genetic patterns are correctable. And driven by lifestyle. So if you have a predisposition and you eat like your dad and you walk like your dad and you stress like your dad and you do the things your dad did, guess what you're going to get? What your dad got. But if you change your lifestyle, then things go away or they don't show up at all. And that's the thing that we have to remember when it comes to this. So let's go on. Let's talk a little bit about, we talked about exercise. We talked about the emotions. Let's talk about the heart relative to how it's affected by Western society. Eat this junk and call me in the morning.
Okay. Do your mantra.
Sugar, sodas, coffee, black teas, fast foods, fried foods, alcohol, gluten, additives, preservatives, GMOs.
Okay. That's what causes heart disease.
Yay. I got it right.
That's simple.
I passed.
That's simple. High protein diets with no vegetables, no fruits, a lot of junk food, a lot of bad fats. All of those things cause a problem. By the way, eggs don't raise your cholesterol.
No?
Good quality meat does not raise your cholesterol.
Conventional eggs are not good for you, though. When we're talking about, and we have to distinguish.
Even the regular eggs are not the cause of elevated cholesterol. The things that raise cholesterol and triglycerides are starches, particularly the refined white flour starches or white potato, white rice, and sugars along with bad fats together. That's the prescription for cholesterol issues.
It is. Hold that thought. We're going to go to the phones. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Joan, thank you for being there. How can I help you?
Yes. I have an ad in front of me, a full page ad. I talked regarding using one's own stem cells to heal the body. And they mentioned meniscus. And I have a torn meniscus in my right knee. I wonder if you know anything about this.
Yeah, Joan, it's been out for a while. The future of medicine is going to be in stem cell regeneration of many different things, whether it's meniscal patterns or whether it's even cardiac tissue like we're talking about right now, or a kidney. So what you have to remember, it is a young area. It's an area of science that's now beginning to develop. The problem is there's not a lot of advertising control, so you have to look into it. There's a few clinics around that will do it. The younger you are, the better the effect, the better circulation that you have in your body, as we're talking about today, the better chances that you have of outcome. If you have a joint space that can be basically immobilized for a short period of time and the stem cell, first you have to have your immune system has to be dropped down to accept the stem cell replacement so your body can begin to regenerate. So is it possible? Yes. Am I super comfortable? I'm not sure yet. You know, there's a lot that comes across my desk. You know, obviously we do a tremendous amount of structural work. There's a couple outfits. There's one that started out of Georgia that's excellent. They do some in this area. There's one out of Florida. So it's in the beginning, the infancy stage of an explosion that I think that will ultimately be something that will be benefiting all of us. It's, you know, we're talking about a genetic mapping. We're talking about, you know, when something has to be replaced, they're going to have genetic incubation chambers where, you know, let's say, for example, that you need a kidney. So instead of having to go someplace for somebody else's kidney, they're going to be able to control the RNA, which is the messenger that tells the cell how to develop, and they're going to incubate it. And 6 months later, you got a brand new kidney that's from your body. The problem with all of this is we started with cloning back with, you know, I think the sheep was called Molly or something like that. And, you know, it went from brand new to the age of the donor almost overnight with many of the predispositions of the donor. So they couldn't control the messenger, the part of your genetic map that tells it what to do. Now they're getting back. So they have director RNA, they have messenger RNA, they have all kinds of things. Now they've been able to isolate. So can it work? Yes. There's been several people, you know, that have gone and had the procedures done and have become better. The joint space has regenerated and so forth. What I would guide you to do is simply this. Make sure that wherever you decide to check it out and go, that they've done not only a few dozen, but a few thousand procedures. And you don't want to be the guinea pig. So find out, make sure that your dollars are spent wisely. What's the side effect? Failure. It just doesn't work. But they can be extremely expensive, and most of these are not covered by insurances, and we're talking about, in some cases, thousands of dollars.
Right. They said it was not covered by insurance.
Correct. Joan, if I can help you, send me a message at drtomrozelle@gmail.com, and I'll see what I can do to, you know, to let you know about the people that I know about. Thanks for your call. I really appreciate it. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Sue, let's talk a little bit more about that. We have more calls and we're going to get to them. So hang in there, everybody.
Okay. Well, we were talking about diet. It goes back to the same thing. Lots of lean poultry, cold water fish, which are high in the omega-3s, which is very anti-inflammatory, very health, heart healthy kind of a fat. Loads of vegetables. They still come back as the primary thing that regulates how your genetics play out. And when you cut them back, you have taken the control switches away, and then your genes are free to fly as they wish. A little bit of fruit. Clean, good quality nuts and seeds if you're not sensitive to them, not roasted, not covered in tamari sauce or flavorings. Whole grains, if you're gluten sensitive, using the ones that are non-gluten. But again, keeping those to a minimum because, again, that's a high starch food, and a lot of us, our activity levels don't preclude the need for a high starch in their diets. Good fats, coconut oil, olive oil, flax oil. Some you cook with, some you use to season with. A little bit of butter is not a problem for most people.
So what I tell our patients, you know, we share a lot of patients in the practice. And so they're in the room and they start talking to me about it. It's like, you know, playing mom and dad off each other.
Yeah.
And so I tell them this. I look at them and I said, look, I said, here's the deal. If you give it to an animal to fatten them up for slaughter, you don't want it in your body. Because that's what it's going to do to you. It's going to put fat in your body.
Sure.
And we're talking about corn, and we're talking about sugars, and we're talking about starches, we're talking about all kinds of things like that. And that's really what happens.
Right.
And you've got this fat that begins to develop and say, well, I'm not a fat person. It's the inside fat. Get a body fat composition. Tell me whether or not you're fat or not. You know, for a woman, we need to be about 23% or less. For a guy, we need to be about 15% or less. And those are the guidelines. So we need to look at those specifically as the, oh, by the way, thank you, Jane. I appreciate that. Our screen caller put a note up for me and said the sheep was called Dolly after Dolly Parton. That was off right letter. I said Molly. So it's Dolly. I mean, sometimes my brain doesn't work, but it was Dolly. She's right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Anne, how can we help you? Appreciate your holding. Hello, Ann.
I'm soon to be 74. I have walked 3.5 miles a day regularly, do yoga once a week. 8 months ago, I developed plantar fasciitis. Now it's considered fasciosis because it's past the 6 months. I went to 2 months of PT, 4 sessions of dry needling. Then from doing towel stretching, I developed trigger thumb. And then I pulled a hamstring in the opposite leg again from overstretching. I just feel as if everything's falling apart.
Well,
now my podiatrist has recommended amniotic membrane injection.
Oh, forget that stuff.
Okay, and just as a background, I take enalapril, atenolol, and levothyroxine.
Okay, so let me tell you a whole lot about you, okay?
That's what I want to know.
Okay, this is what's going on. The fact that you're getting all these things from trying to correct the problem and none of this other stuff has worked is, number one, tells you you're not looking in the right direction, and that's the problem. We see most of these things. When you see a plantar fasciitis particularly, it usually has to do with the fascial covering of the muscles not reacting. The number one thing causes a fascia, the wrapper around muscles and bones and organs and so forth, not to hold her, and it tightens up and you can't get it to relax, is the insufficiency of transport, but most often inadequacy of B12 and folic acid. You need to have high levels of that. As they deplete, and particularly as we get older, they deplete, and we're going to talk about that a little later in the show because it's very specific with cardiac problems. When you don't have enough B12 folic acid, the fascia will not lay smoothly, and it becomes inflamed and irritated. Now, you can go in, you know, a fasciosis, you know, it's a wonderful term, right? Fasciitis, itis means inflammatory reaction. And what you're dealing with is you're going in and out of a fasciitis, you know, fasciosis. Come on. You got pain. It's swollen. It's hot. It's sore. It's still a fasciitis that continues to perpetuate itself over a period of time. So you have to look at the calf muscles. The small bone in the lower portion of your leg called the fibula often will migrate forward, and it pinches a nerve called the common peroneal nerve that innervates a muscle that goes in and holds and balances your foot. So if you test the muscles of the foot, particularly the ones that pulls your toes towards you, you're going to find that they're not going to hold. It's called inhibition. We say weak sometimes, but they're inhibited. They're not firing the way they're supposed to. You have to fix that if that's involved. Sometimes it's the nerves in your back. You know, your leg is controlled by everything that comes from the spinal column. The lower portion of your back has the nerves that go down, go into the foot, and so forth. Those things can be identified quickly if you're doing the proper examination. And if you do the proper examination, you find out where it's coming from. Now you can turn it around. But B12 folic acid is where you start with a fascial problem after you try to lay the thing, and then you find the muscles that are not working the way they're supposed to. They're weak, they're inhibited. You turn them back on, and we see these things all the time, and the greatest majority of them turn around very quickly. What I would suggest to you is this. You have an opportunity this week with what we're trying to do and raise funds for Have a Heart or Food for Others. And call in, make an appointment, but make it with Dr. Harlan Browning. Dr. Browning is an expert in this area. He knows it well. And we take cases like this. Dr. Browning takes cases like this and turns it around very, very quickly. I don't think you'll be disappointed. So that's what my recommendation is to you. And I appreciate your phone call, but you know, you've been heading the wrong direction. You know, dry needling, if there's a trigger point in the area, works, but it's applied textbook. There's no thought process that goes through it. It was stolen from the acupuncture field. It doesn't work as effectively in people who have had basically a weekend course, and that's all these people are getting. And you know, they're trying, but those things can be resolved, and they can be resolved very, very quickly. We have more calls. We're going to get to the phones. Sue, let's talk about this whole mechanism of plaquing. We just talked about B12, folic acid.
Right.
I mean, it's right on target here. We got an inflammatory reaction,
right?
Okay, within the system as a result of depletion. She already said I could hear. You know, there's some cardiac medication that she's on.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about deficiencies. We can go into picogenol. We can go to CoQ10. We can go to B12, folic acid. Even the regulation of the heart due to the proper balance of magnesium and potassium.
Right. Well, one of the things that ties in with the B12 folic acid deficiencies, and we do have them because there's so many systems in our body that requires those two nutrients specifically, but one of the markers is called homocysteine, and it is what they call an independent heart disease marker. In other words, if your levels of homocysteine are high or high end of normal, you have a greater inflammatory reaction going on inside of the vessels, as well as an increased platelet, what they call platelet aggregation. In other words, clotting is easier to have happen. You have more inflammatory lesions on the vessel linings themselves, which encourages plaques to form in those places. It's the body's attempt to try to shore up the weak spots so you don't start leaking blood into the body. So homocysteine is only regulated by your B6, 12, and folic acid levels. So it's essential for those three nutrients to be in there. There's another component to that, trimethylglycine and B1, and there's a few combinations of products out there that contain all of those things that help with that. That's one thing.
How about the nitric oxide pathways as it relates to this hardening and so forth? You know, the nitric oxide increases the expansion of blood vessels. Mm-hmm. It increases the potentiation of collateral circulation.
Right.
Okay, so somebody has a clog. If you increase your nitric oxide pathways, now what happens is you start having the ability to increase the little feeders around and the bypass. The body does its own bypass.
Sure, it does.
And, you know, if you catch it early enough, there's so much more that you can do. Let's go to the phones. And, Paul, you're right on topic. How can we help you, sir?
Regarding cholesterol, I always heard the ratio was the most important metric, and I heard keeping it under 3, there are some significant benefits. I wonder if you could talk about that a little bit.
Paul, there's a lot more than just the ratio. When you go to your doctor and they just run total cholesterol, triglycerides, LDL, HDL,
VLDL.
VLDL, that's not enough. You have to do something called a VAP. And what a VAP is the fractionated portions of the different types of cholesterols. For example, you can have somebody who has a cholesterol level of 240, 260, 270, and said, oh my God, we got a problem here. And you do the fractionated portions and you find that their HDL, which we call good cholesterols, is really a protein, is high, but there are good guys and there are not so good guys. But if the good guys are really high, and the same thing with LDLs, there's the bad guys and they're at the not so bad guys. If the bad guys are high and the good guys are low, you're going to plaque like crazy. But conversely, if with a high total cholesterol, if you have the really good guys really high and the really bad guys really low, but the ones that are not going to hurt you are there, guess what happens? You don't plaque. So you have to know more about that. Cholesterol problems come from liver function. They come from stress levels. They come from deficiencies of nutrient bases and so forth. So you have to look at all that before you can make any kind of determination.
And there are different ratios you can look at to determine other things as well.
Paul, just stay on the line for 2 seconds. We've got to come up to a break. I want to answer this just a little bit more because it's an important consideration. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live. We'll be right back.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rizal here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live, as you do every Sunday on the East Coast at 12 o'clock. And those of you around the country at your different time zones, make sure you tell everybody about Dr. Tom Rizal Live. And if you want to re-listen, you can go to RizalRadio.com. It's out there. You can go to the station's website. You can go to DrTomRizal.com, and you can check these things out. We have all kinds of videography. Go to RoselleCare.com as well, RoselleCare.com. And there's all kinds of things sitting right there, old programs, videos, and presentations. And we do that just for you. We want to educate you. That's the whole purpose of what we do and why we do what we're here. So let's wrap this up a little bit. I want to get back to Paul. Paul, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, buddy. Listen, so what I want to make sure that you understand is that the ratios that the pharmaceutical companies put in there, and they're the ones that develop those small parameters, are there so that they can manipulate. When I was in school, as my son would say, you know, when the dinosaurs ruled the earth many years ago, normal cholesterol was about 225. And the normal LDLs were about 130 to 135. And they began to shift them. Why did they begin to do that? Because they saw more and more people outside those parameters, and they began to, you know, shift them in one way. But the other reason that they did it, more importantly, is because remember who put them in effect was the drug companies, and they want to put more and more people on statins, and they want to drop the cholesterol. So here's the deal. Statins drop cholesterol. Do they work? Yes. Here's the problem. Cholesterol doesn't cause plaquing. And they did. There was an article that was released in the New England Journal of Medicine about 3 years ago, and there was 1,000 people that they studied, men only, and they watched them for 5 years on all these medications and so forth. And what they concluded was simply this: it takes 5 years with all these guys being on cholesterols to save one heart attack out of 100 men. It just doesn't work, because that's not it. We're talking about nutrient bases. We're talking about B12. We're talking about liver function. We're
inflammation.
Talking about inflammation. Inflammation is the key. So you have to, if you really want to find out if you're in trouble, have your doctor do a VAP, V-A-P. And it's all the subfractions of the different cholesterols, including, you know, IRTs and so forth. And it gives you the absolute endpoint of what's going on.
Well, an LDL isn't dangerous. The good LDL, the large fluffy, it's essential to life. And this is where you have to know what you're dealing with before you start knocking everything down around your ankles, or you start having all kinds of health issues like myopathy, neuropathy, mood changes and things like that, which are all these side effects associated with some of these medications. If you've got the bad stuff, yeah, you have to do something about it. And it's more than just taking a pill. But if you've got the good stuff, you want to leave it alone.
And here's the thing that I try to tell people. When you put on a statin, regardless of what it is, even something called red rice yeast, it depletes the body of something, coenzyme Q10. And the problem is that if you're on aspirin, like a lot of the doctors still want to put you on 81 milligrams, which makes things much worse, you deplete the CoQ10. There's an interesting side effect. It's called death. So it stops the heart. It stops the myocardial muscle over a period of time. So be very careful. Paul, I hope that's useful. If you'd like more information, drtomrozell.com. I'll get back to you. Appreciate your phone call.
Just one final note with some of the awful things we were saying about heart disease. When you do the diet, when you do the exercise, when you do the emotional control, you eat the nutrients, take the nutrients that you need. If you follow a consistent pattern, it is possible to cause a change, a regression of coronary artery disease within a year.
And the body is a self-healing and self-regulating mechanism, and we keep forgetting that. It will turn anything and everything around, providing that you give it the opportunity and you're willing to bite the bullet and give yourself a healing window. It's amazing how that happens. Unfortunately, we're coming up to that time of the show where I'm very upset because I got a whole bunch of you sitting there online that I'd like to get back to you. But here's the deal. Don't forget, this week at the Rozell Center for Healing, they are celebrating Have a Heart Week in celebration of Valentine's Day. And what that means is that they're extending themselves to raise food and money for Food for Others. It's a 501c3 foundation in Virginia. We need your help. All you need to do is call the office and tell them you'd like to schedule an appointment to have a complete examination consultation with one of the great doctors there, and give them $50. Make it out to Food for Others, not to them. And guess what? You'll help us help them, and we will match the donation. We're here. We'll see you next week. Love you all. Bye.